The following presentation was recorded live by HAudio.com.
I would like to go in the order, basically, of the davening, pieces, and maybe we'll find, as we go along gradually, there'll be some underlying theme, some unifying aspect of all these the various details of Rosh Hashanah. Let's start. The first thing, there's a halacha. In Rosh Hashanah, I think, is the only place where the concept of minhag is brought in halacha as minhag and given a unique status and explained. I think it's important to know it in general, to try to understand the idea of minhag in Klal Yisrael as opposed to halacha. Most of the things we do probably during the day, during the year, are minhagim. They're not halacha. And the question is always, where does minhag come into halacha? Where is minhag? What's the source of minhag? Halacha is very clear. You start with the Torah, you start with the Torah Shebaal Peh, Gemara, and so on. Minhag just seems to seep in. Most of minhagim are usually lost. Their origin is not clear in Klal Yisrael. So the Torah brings the minhagim, the way we treat Erev Rosh Hashanah, which seems to be different than the way it should be treated, the way it ought to be treated when looking at it from a halachic point of view. And he quotes a medrash. It says like this. The medrash says, Amar Simon, Ksiv, it says, Mi goy godol v'goyme. The pasuk says, who is a nation as great as Israel? Reb Chanina, Reb Yeshua explained, Ezu uma ki uma zu. Who is a nation who, there is no nation like this nation, Sheyodas ufyo shel elokeho, who understands, the word translates into personality, kaviyachol, as it were, of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Klal Yisrael is a nation that understands HaKadosh Baruch Hu's, quote, personality. Pirish, minhaga v'dinav, the way in which he acts, the way in which he comes forth. Where do we see that Israel understands HaKadosh Baruch Hu's ufyoy? Sheminhaga shel oylam adam sheyesh loy din loy v'shchayrim u'misatev shchayrim u'megadol zkonoy v'inchaytek tziponav. A person who has some sort of case impending is usually very distraught, very upset, has no time to take care of himself, neglects himself. He's under the tension of not knowing what will be with the court case. Av Yisrael einam kein. Klal Yisrael is not like this. Loishim levanim, they dress in white, or misatfim levanim, or megalchin skonam, or mechatchin tziponeim, v'oichlim v'sheis atzmech v'shana. The fact that on Rosh Hashanah we do treat it as a yontiv, we do take a haircut, we do dress up, we do eat and drink. Lefi sheyodin shekadosh baruch hu yaseh lahem nes. They know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will make a nes. Lefikach noigan saper. So the Medrash looks at it the following way. In other words, by calling it a nes, means that the normal pattern of events imply that the Yom HaDin is a Yom HaDin. And as far as the case is concerned, as far as the din is concerned, the person ought to be distraught. To know that somebody is making a nes, in other words, it's as if saying, you know that he's going to surprise you. It's almost a contradiction in terms. Surprise means that it's not coming. You don't have it coming for you, and it should not, and you're not expecting it. If you know the person is going to surprise you, means that you have a much deeper understanding of the person, a much closer relationship, which allows you to feel things that are not even on the surface. When somebody is when somebody's working for a boss, so he knows the amount of hours he's worked, that's the amount of pay he's going to get. There are no surprises on a salary, on a tlush, on the salary check. It's what you work, that's what you get. When you have a close relationship with somebody, you feel the person's goodwill, let's call it, or the person's closeness, and you know that something, the person will treat you. In other words, you're getting something beyond what you deserve. The Beis Yosef brings one line of explanation, a very fascinating line. He explains, how does the Medrash get it out of the Pasuk? The Pasuk says, who is a nation as great as Klal Yisrael? Where in the Pasuk do we see this, the root for this understanding of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Pirush, he says, Shehem Pirushu Godol Miloshen Gidol. They've explained the word Godol, instead of meaning big, meaning the word Godol also means to raise or to grow up. Ligadel Yiladim means to raise children. Kleima Shenizgadla Imelekeha. It has, quote unquote, grown up together with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, V'yedas Midosev, and understands his Midas. In other words, just as when you grow up together with somebody, you develop with somebody, at that stage you have an idea, a deeper idea of what the person is. The same thing, Klal Yisrael Kaviyachol has grown up Kaviyachol. What it means is that being that throughout the generations we've had a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu of ups and downs, growing, devastation and so on, this relationship has developed a sensitivity in Klal Yisrael that allows us to feel even those things that are not overt, those things that are kaviyachol hidden and are part of the inner hashgacha, so to speak, of the Bria, we have a sensitivity for it. And that is probably, that's the source and the explanation of Minhagim as in general. It's important to understand. Mitzvahs are what is told. This is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu said. This is what you have to do. This is what you have to listen to. It's all above. It's a relationship that's surface and above. Minhag in Klal Yisrael comes from this unique sensitivity that Klal Yisrael has developed with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's why there's room for new Minhagim. Halachas, there's no new halachas. Any new halacha is a logical derivation from a previous halacha. You take the old facts, you ask questions to roots them, you apply to new cases, but it's continuous. A minig has in itself the ability to, it wells out of Klal Yisrael's inner consciousness. And adrabah, door by door, there are sometimes new minhagim, which if they come from Bnei Torah, if they come from G'dolei Torah, then they have the full strength of halacha. As a matter of fact, in certain cases, the Goyin brings himself a seferim, minhag can override halacha. One of those certain brachas that we add, one of the brachas that's spoken about in Birchas HaShachar, where the Goyin says, even though halachically one ought not add a bracha, but it's added because it became a minhag, and it's a minig that comes from a makom, from G'dolei Torah and Bnei Torah, then it has in it the quality that is even supersedes halacha. Naturally, it can't contradict halacha outright, and not every minig is a minig. It's important to know that also. There's a perek, makom shenogum psachim, that defines different categories of minhagim. Some minhagim are shtus, and it's a mitzvah to get rid of them. Some minhagim are, they're not shtus, but it doesn't have a din of a minik chashuv, and then there is minik chashuv. But the root of minik chashuv is that unique, because you weren't told to do it, and because it's a sensitivity of Klal Yisrael to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, understanding his personality, so to speak, his ufyoi, a result of having grown together, meaning a result of having had all these various relationships with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ava, and then Golas, Churban, all these different things developed in Klal Yisrael a special feel for what is it that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants, even though he hasn't said it. Okay, that's Erev Rosh Hashanah. Maybe later we'll come back and understand why, of all the days of the year, was Rosh Hashanah specifically that we have this finds its place in halacha. This unique relationship finds its place in halacha in Rosh Hashanah. But okay, the next point is, let's go to the davening of Rosh Hashanah. We'll go basically in the order of Machzeh, so it'll be... The first halachic difference mentioned as far as Tefillah of Rosh Hashanah is the adding of HaMelech HaKadosh. Instead of saying HaKel HaKadosh, we say HaMelech HaKadosh, it's a Gemara in Brachos, and we pass that it's Ma'akev B'diavit. Why is it like that? In other words, what is the significance of Melech HaKadosh versus HaKel HaKadosh? It's true that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a Melech, but why? I mean, in other words, you're knocking out HaKel HaKadosh to put in a Melech HaKadosh. You don't stick it in anywhere else. Where over here do we... why is the HaMelech HaKadosh replacing the HaKel HaKadosh over here? If you look at the brachas of Shemayin Esrei, the first three brachas, it's not random, there's a pattern there. The first bracha expresses our closest relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In other words, meaning where HaKadosh Baruch Hu has come closest to us. We start with Elokei Avram, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov. These were our forefathers. These were the people that developed a relationship where HaKadosh Baruch Hu protected them, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave them bracha, HaKadosh Baruch Hu saved them, so on and so forth. And we speak basically about the chasadim that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does to us. By chasadim, we mean naturally where HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us, in other words, the points of contact that we have with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He gives us food, he gives us health, and so on. It's anytime we speak about HaKadosh Baruch Hu's chesed to us, we're naturally implying those aspects that I feel this close relationship. Being helped, being directed, being shown a special hashgacha, all these comprise the elements of chasadim. The second bracha goes a step further, and we relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu as Gibor and Mechaya Mesim specifically. In other words, we begin to distance ourselves from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. From the point at which we related to him in day-to-day and in our lifetime contact with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we now say, but we understand that there is no one like you. Midei Melech, Melech Meimis, Mechaya, Matzimiach Yeshua. Tchias HaMesim is specifically not within our realm. We can't be mispal for Tchias HaMesim. There is no... once a person is dead, no more, you don't say Tehillim that he should come alive again. There's... For Mashiach, we say we await each day for Mashiach. Tchias HaMesim, we say... When HaKadosh Baruch Hu feels like it. We can't even wait for it. Tchias HaMesim is something that is out. We know it will be, but not more than that. To hope for it, to wish for it, to pray for it. For Mashiach, we daven every day. We say, Achak lebchoyim sheyovai. We feel the immediacy of Mashiach, and we're expected to relate to it. Tchias HaMesim is something which it has no comparison to anything we know of. And we say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Midei Melecha, Melech Meimis U'Mechaya, and we relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu as Mechaya Meisim. But at least we can still relate to him. In other words, the word Tchias HaMeisim is some phenomena that bridges the gap between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu at a Madrega that is higher than our day-to-day existence. In Atta Kaddish, we go a step further. The word Kaddish means separate. It means out of bounds to us. Issue is mikudesh, hegdish is something you're not allowed to touch, you're not allowed to use. A woman who's mikudeshes, she's like hegdish, she's separate from you. The word kadesh means to set aside. Prushim and arayas, we say HaKadosh Baruch Hu is totally separate. Ata kadesh, v'shimcha kadesh, even your name, we have a name that we relate to, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu's true name, it's Kaddish. It's out of bounds to us. We don't know how to pronounce Hashem Havaya. It's something. Ukdoshim b'chol yoyim alucha sela. And it is only those who are Kaddish, Malachim, who can relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and praise him. In other words, the truth is, when we speak about HaKadosh Baruch Hu be'emes, we're not even capable of praising him. It's Ukdoshim b'chol yoyim alucha sela. And then in Ketushah we continue, we say to Malachim, say Kaddish, Kaddish, Kaddish. And then we finish, Baruch Atah Hashem, Hakel HaKaddish. The word Hakel, the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu as Hakel, there's a pasuk in Shayo that says, Ochein Atah Kel B'mistater. It's true, or verily, if you want to use the old translation, you are a God in hiding. Kel B'mistater. In other words, when we refer to Kel, we refer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in hiding. It's HaKadosh Baruch Hu that when we know is there, but we can't relate to him. We know that he's hidden, but where he's hidden and the nature of whatever is hidden is totally oblivious to us. So our introduction, when we address HaKadosh Baruch Hu each day in Shemoneh Esrei, there's a step-by-step addressing. The first point is where I find HaKadosh Baruch Hu in his immediacy to me. I find him in what I have, in what I get, in what I'm shown. Then I say, and I know that you're really beyond this. You're above things that that can above comparison, Tchias HaMeisim and so on. And the third stage of addressing HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, and really you're beyond anything I can even think of. I can't even bring Tchias HaMeisim as an example to what you are. On Rosh Hashanah, so when we address HaKadosh Baruch Hu as HaKel HaKadosh, it is the point of godliness that is most remote and furthest removed from us. On Rosh Hashanah, and Yom Noiroyim, and Yom Adin, what happens is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu as He is beyond us, becomes close to us, and therefore Yom Adin results. In other words, the king is in full control of the Medina. He has governors, and then they have districts, and you have police. So the person, the fifth or sixth level, bureaucrat that you're in day-to-day contact with, he represents the king. If you get out of bounds, it's going to get back, and you're going to be put into jail, you're going to be judged, and so on. The king exists there, but the fact that it's after six stages of hierarchy, it means that there is you can get away with a lot more. There's each step that you're removed means that there is less awareness of the king and less fear of him. When the king comes down, it means that that part which was remote, that element of Malchus, which was only in the existed only in the capital, now is taking its full focus and focusing on you. So in other words, Hakel HaKadosh becomes HaMelech HaKadosh. The frightening aspect of Rosh Hashanah is not that HaKadosh Baruch Hu judges. There's always an element of din. It's the fact the standard by which you're judged is not by the sixth level pakid, who allows a certain amount of flexibility in it's the fact that the Hakel HaKadosh himself becomes HaMelech HaKadosh. It's that remote aspect of HaKadosh Baruch Hu appears to us and judges us. And that is why Malachim, that is the point when we say that Malachim tremble in fear of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Malachim are part of that, system that enables, it forms sort of a barrier, sort of a shock absorber between the person and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We find it says in Chumash that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, after they sinned, I will not lead you because with me it's too risky if you do Averis. I'll send a Malach for you. A Malach is someone, there is a certain, HaKadosh Baruch Hu allows for a certain leniency, for a certain flexibility, as when people do things through a messenger. On Rosh Hashanah, the Malachim themselves begin to tremble because they themselves must relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu as He is in His fullness. Okay. That is the HaMelech HaKadosh, which is a Gemara in Brachos, and is a halacha that it's ma'akiv. There's something else that we add to the tefillahs that is much later. It's from the Gaonim, from the period of the Gaonim, which is after the Gemara, 9th century, 10th century is when it finished, that period of time. Zachreinu l'chayim, micha moicha, avarach mezoich etzuv l'chayim. The fourth pieces that you add about chayim, those pieces were instituted by the Gaonim, added in. It's a machlokes in halacha. We pass that you say it, nobody argues. But in the early halacha, in other words, in the Torah, he brings a machlokes Gaonim, whether or not to say it. The problem halachically is that a person is not supposed to use the first brachas to ask for anything, to request for anything. The first brachas are directed as a shvach HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They're directed as addressing HaKadosh Baruch Hu, praising HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and they're not meant to be used for bakashas. So sticking in Zacheinu L'chaim and Micha Meicha, the other two is a question. Maybe afterwards one is allowed to ask for things. It's a halachic question of going against the takana of Chazal to make the first brachas Birchas Shevach and addressing HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So one, the teretz that's given halachically is that only specific requests or personal requests are not to be said in the first three brachas. General requests or requests for everyone together is something that can be said in the first three brachas. That's the halachic teretz. It is problematic because most brachas that we say in Shemoneh Esrei are said in a general sense. Baruch Aleinu, Tkab Shofar Gadol, V'Kab Yitzchak Melcheinu. There's no, the brachas are phrased in a rabbim, and the brachas are also, are most of them are general. And still you see that Chazal were very careful about marking the line between Shvach and Bakasha. So I was thinking possibly of an understanding. Maybe this fits into the idea of a bracha, a general bracha versus a specific. When a person asks for something, let's give an example. If a person comes over and asks somebody else for a donation, so when you ask for a donation, there's a specific sense of I'm taking something from you for me. Any favor that I ask from somebody, the favor implies a dividing point between you and me. You have money, I don't. Give. And if you want to go a step further, it's I am trying to get something for me and using you as a means for that. I want you to give me something, so you're only important because you have the keys to the safe, and I don't. So in Shemoneh Esrei, we naturally, when we address HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we're speaking about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And it would be a chutzpah for us to stick in a personal request, because that would mean that we're perceiving HaKadosh Baruch Hu as just a way in which to get rich on. It's as shalei lishma as you can get. There's an exception. And usually, I mean, because of person-to-person relationship, there's usually some sort of soreness in this. When someone asks you for a favor, it's always you do it willingly and glaringly. But there's some sort of, there's one type of favor that, let's say someone proposes, and he says he would like to marry the other person. He's asking for something, but it's the only type of request, or a similar request. Somebody says he would like to be close with you. I'd like to be chavrusa, any type of, where I'm asking for a relationship, where I'm asking for a closeness, it's a very interesting request. On the one hand, I want it. On the other hand, what I want is you. It's not you as a means for something. It's not you as a, you're not just because you happen to have it, I want to take it from you. It's the biggest, let's call it compliment to the person as a person. Requests that we ask on an everyday basis, and the everyday requests that we ask are all on the first level. In other words, panasa, das, refua, even geula, all these are, we need these things. We know that you're the one who is capable of giving it to us. You're the one who has the keys to it. That recognition itself is a very big thing. That's a munah. And it's not, in a day-to-day Shemoneh Esrei, it's not a chisaron, it's a maila. The fact that a person recognizes it is one of the most significant aspects of a munah. There's one word, the Pasuk Tilum says, Ki imcha mekor chayim, for you are the source of life, ba'orcha nira oyer. Life was given to a person when HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kaviyochel breathed into him something of his. The Lashon Chazal is someone, when you breathe out something into something else, there's something of you in that person. Life is defined in the Torah as a connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In other words, HaKadosh Baruch Hu and I want to reattach myself to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's the heart to the body, let's say, or it's the relationship of understanding that only when you're attached to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then are you living. So when we ask for Rosh Hashanah, we ask for Chaim. It's not, and we stick it into the first brachas, it's not as a personal request in the sense of refuah, parnasa, and so on. It's on Rosh Hashanah when we have a heightened perceiving of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is the day on which HaKadosh Baruch Hu breathed in the breath of life in a person. When that chibur with a person, when that connection with a person was formed, that's when a person became a Baal Chayim. So actually what we're asking for is, we're relating back again, in other words, I want to reattach myself. I want to become part of life again. I mean, that's a simple pshat when it says, for instance, tzaddikim, when they're living, even when they're dead, they're called living, and Rishayim, even when they're living, they're called dead. Because life and death, in its more fullest sense, is the relationship to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's a halacha that when you have an animal with a limb that's been cracked in a way that there's no circulation, that limb is not part of the animal anymore. If you shech the animal, the limb is still aser. It has the name of Evim Nachai. Because even though the thing appears to be attached on the outside, but if there's no life flowing through it, if it's not connected, at least circulatory, there's no... It's an illusion of connection. It's not part of the animal. The tzaddikim, in other words, someone who is mechubar to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, with maisim, with mitzvahs, with Torah, so on, is chayim. Someone who's not is mace. So when we ask for chayim, it's because when we're addressing HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we perceive HaKadosh Baruch Hu in a much sharper and fuller awareness than all year round, the request for life is sort of a request of the second nature. When I want to be together with you. That, in other words, let me be part of this life process. It's a request that's not taking for yourself from someone else, but it's coming closer and joining the source of that which is life. That's Zocheinu L'Chayim. There's another thing that's added. It's an early edition, but it's not Medina de Gemara. It seems to be coming from... the Rambam brings it as an old minhag. So obviously it's also tkufas ha-goyinim, but there's no machlokes about saying it. It's uvchein tein pachtecha, the three requests, uvchein tein pachtecha, uvchein tein kovid, uvchein tzadikim yiru v'yismachu, until the end of HaMelech HaKadosh. The Rambam brings it that in some places the minhag was to say it every day of Aseres Metshuva, but at least Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur to say it, and that everybody agrees on, that it said Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. There's no shaila about this. Again, we're faced with the same shaila of why sticking it into Ata Kaddish of all places. In other words, we could have said it later. We could have said it in as part of Kedushas Hayom, or if you say it all as Aseres Metshuva, it could have been put into the request. It could have been put into I'd like to say something, and later we'll try to develop it a little further when we speak about Malchus, Achonis, and Shefris. They are some Mefarshim do draw a parallel between of Chayn Tein of Chayn Tzadikim. They draw the parallel to Malchus, Achonis, and Shefris. It's sort of a mini Malchus, Achonis, and Shefris. But let's give it a general idea. That same, when we look at a person, when a person relates to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and realizes his own existence is really when it is part of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's greater existence, we call that Chayim. And that's Zocheinu L'Chayim. The world as a whole is much more complex, much bigger, much broader. When we speak of that relationship of life to an individual person, we speak of the world, we speak of Malchus Shemayim. In other words, HaKadosh Baruch Hu filling the world in the way in which a breath of HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kaviyachol as it fills the person and gives it life. We speak of HaKadosh Baruch Hu as Chayei Lomim, the one who breathes life into the world. The way in which it manifests itself in the Bria is when the Bria is under Malchus Yisbarach. It's part of this. It's HaKadosh Baruch Hu reveals himself as Melech in the Bria. We'll speak about it later when we speak about Malchus. But just to put it into its perspective, in Tefillah, it's again, when we see HaKadosh Baruch Hu revealing Himself, when HaKel HaKadosh becomes a Melech HaKadosh, we now seek to draw this aspect of HaKadosh Baruch Hu into the Bria and make it manifest in the Bria. That which is hidden all year round, that which is hidden even on Rosh Hashanah from most parts of the Bria, shall become the life force of the Bria, so to speak. I would like to discuss in detail a little bit later. That is the Shemini Esrei of the simple Shemini Esrei of Rosh Hashanah. In other words, you have Zocheinu L'Chaim, the four stanzas. You have Amelach HaKadosh. You have the V'chein Tim Pachtechov, V'chein Tim Kovod, V'chein Tzadikim, Tol HaMelach HaKadosh. Then you have what's called Kedushas HaYoyim. That's the standard Nusach of any Shabbos or Yontiv, where the middle bracha speaks about the Kedushas HaYoyim. What's important, what's interesting to note is that Rosh Hashanah is called Yoyim HaZikaron, the day of remembrance. That's what it's called. The Torah is Zichron Shrua. We would think that it should be called Yoyim HaBriya, the day of creation, or Yoyim HaDin. What's Yoyim HaZikaron? In other words, why is Zikaron aspect the aspect of that, the important aspect of Rosh Hashanah? We'll see it later, Mr. Shem, when we get to Zichronis. I want to leave that also. At the meal, there's an interesting minig. There's a minig. It's one of the only minhagim that has a gemara that's clear about it. It's a very interesting. There's a minig where we eat various things at the meal. It's a very symbolic type of thing. In other words, halachically, it's meaningless. There's some minhagim which are just an outgrowth of the halacha, let's call it an endowment of the halacha, an understanding of the spirit of the halacha. This is a minig that seems to, it's not related to anything. We eat various fruits and so on that the words mean something. We eat, for instance, we eat, let's take a roishal ayol, a roishal kevis, yirotz and shinil roish. You have reminders of yirbeschu yaseinu. The Gemara also brings, so these things are things which at least in the structure of the thing, it's symbolical. In other words, a head symbolizes a head. A pomegranate has a lot of seeds. We like to have schuyas like seeds. There's some things where only in the words do we find the connection. The Gemara specifically mentions this type. Silka and kasia, in other words, things that the things themselves are plain vegetables, either like squash or zucchini or something. Nothing. The vegetable itself is very undramatic. What is interesting about it is that the name symbolizes something of sheistalkus aneinu, sheyichrusus aneinu. It's very strange, and it's a Gemara, and the Gemara says it a very interesting way. The Gemara speaks about the Inyan, the Gemara in two places, in Krisis and Hurius. The Gemara discusses, one of the things is Kishuv, you're not allowed to play around with magic, with amulets, unless it's a Kamei, but the whole area of magic is out of bounds. It's Yisad Arayis, like Chaza. The Gemara says, but Simana Milsa, a Simen, a hint is meaningful. For example, the Gemara says a halacha that a king you're supposed to anoint by a river, because just like a river flows, so shall the king's melucha flow. And then on this, the Gemara says, being that simanim are so significant, being that simanim are mean something, therefore on Rosh Hashanah let a person eat things that are simanim. The Gemara. What's even more fascinating is not only Hebrew, but Yiddish simonim. A lot of things that we eat, carrots, are the reason for carrots is because in Yiddish it's mern, which means both carrots, and it means to increase. So we've taken it. In other words, not only don't we have the Hebrew word meaning significant, it's become the Yiddish term for it that's significant. It's a very deep point, but just something so that at least we can appreciate it instead of just being it's almost ludicrous. If a person believes in magic and he works with magic, so fine, so there's no end to it. But we're talking about where the Torah asks it, and it's only a simen. There's an interesting Rishayim speak about it. It says Breishis bara leikim means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created Breishis. Literally that means HaKadosh Baruch Hu created beginning. What it means is the Bria, the creation as a whole, from the beginning till the end, was set up in a way that the events would form a chain. They would be significant not only on a point-by-point basis, but they'd be significant in the context of all generations put together, not as isolated historical events, even where Bechira played a role, which was almost every point. And that is what we learn in the Torah. We'll be learning it in Mitzvah Shem Shabbos Shuvah. It says, "Schar yemois olam binu shnois dar v'dar." There was a shira, the final part of Torah. V'zayis habrachas is brachas of the final aspect of Torah that was given from HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a song which sums up the Torah. The people who darshan these things, the Gra and then the early Mikubalim, they all explain that in the song of Azinu you have hints for everything that will be, that has been, and so on. But the song specifically instructs you, Zechor Yemois Olam, remember everything that's happened, Binu Shnois Dar V'Dar, understand, think into the years of each generation. In other words, besides a person, on one level, it's multiple choice at each point. At every point along the way, a person has a new Nisayan, he has a new test, a new challenge, a new Bechira, and so on. But underneath it, there's a hashkacha that threads together the point by point by point basis. So that a person in his own life can see, he can only, besides looking at a point by point hashkacha of day by day, he can put the days together and look at the years, and put the years together and look at decades and look at a lifetime. There is a thread that connects it all. This is because HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the Bria with Breishis. In other words, it is the beginning of something. When a person does, if let's say I'm going to do today whatever happens, I can't call today the beginning of the day. It's the first event, but the first thing I'm doing, if there's no connection between the events, the word beginning is not, it doesn't describe it. It's the first event, but it's not the beginning of anything. If you're beginning something, it has to have some sort of hemshich, it has to have continuity and a conclusion. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu has set up the Bria at every level in a way where it starts with something, and the start and everything else is sort of an unfolding of the start. We later can sum up and see where everything was in the beginning. They say from the Goyen that everything in everything is hinted at in Breishis, and everything is hinted at in the first Pasuk, and everything is hinted at in the first word, everything is hinted at in the first letter, in the first base. We don't know what that is. I don't know what that means. I have no idea. But what it means is that gradually you can, there must be something in the very first point that contained in it the elements of the second point. If you want to look at some muscle that we're aware of on a very physical basis, you look at a person and you look at the genes that he comes from, it's true the person has choices, but everything he does is a development of that which he had in him. You can't bring out that which was not there. So you have, every person has a dot of a brachis. If you would have told somebody 300 years ago that the whole person is hinted at, or not hinted at, it's contained in a dot that you can't see without magnifying it a few hundred times, the person would have said, "You're out of your mind." We simplify it. In other words, the genes are just a series of codes. Again, you can keep cracking it down to a simpler and simpler level. The Bria was created in a way where everything is a start, and a continuation of the start. Everything has its own bracious, as the Bria has in general, and the rest of it is development. So when we look at any, when we do any event, for instance, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted a Navi to start his Nevuah, he would tell him to do some physical act that at least represented the Nevuah physically. HaKadosh Baruch Hu told the, if you've learned, Yirmiyahu, take a stick of Shkedim, of almonds. And he, when he took the stick, he said, just like this is Shkedim, I am going to hurriedly bring the tzaras on Klal Yisrael. The word Shaked means hurry, and also means almonds. The point was, to start any event, you needed some seed of that event, and then the event would begin to unfold on itself. All you need HaKadosh Baruch Hu for is Bereishis. Within the Bereishis, it begins to develop. It's all contained in the Bereishis, and the rest of it is the development of it. So Rosh Hashanah, even though we can't appreciate it on that level, we don't see how a river flowing by a king has in it anything how will that help the king make it longer? But we understand that this is so, that the process of, even though we don't really relate to it physically, any beginning contains in it the totality of the continuation and conclusion. A person who, if we were able to decipher, I mean, we have it on a very small basis, but looking at the genes, you can tell if the person will be a sick child, a healthy child, at certain aspects that we've understood where the Bereishis relates to the Hemshech. The fact that we weren't aware of it for a few thousand years didn't make it any less true. Rosh Hashanah is a day of Bereishis. And therefore, anything we do on that day, we try to do acts that are Bereishis acts. We try to do things that are beginnings to other things. And in that sense, we relate to Simanim. Kishuv means we're trying to produce new things, things that aren't there by relating to some sort of Tumah. Simanim means the beginning of a process that HaKadosh Baruch Hu put in the Bria. We're starting with the Bereishis, and we want the rest to continue. And that is why we not only do we take things that are physically gracious, physically significant as beginnings, we take things that the words of it are. We know that the world was created with dibur. Whatever that means, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world with words. It says that the words of different things contain in it, the allude somehow to the nature of the thing itself, the codes, the Hebrew language, I don't know which part it goes into, but in other words, the word shakeid, meaning an almond, this is a perfect example, as a matter of fact, it means an almond because an almond is the earliest fruit in Eretz Yisrael to become ripened. In other words, the name of it symbolized the quickness. So when HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Yirmiyahu, take a makel shkedim, and he told him, I'm going to hurry to bring the Puranis, to bring the Tzaras on Klal Yisrael, it wasn't only a play on words. The word shakeid in that sense actually meant quickly, or the most hurried aspect, and so on. So we relate not only to the bracious of the thing itself, but in other words, everything in the Bria has its own bracious, which lies in the words that it means. So we're taking things that mean something, the wording means something, is also a form of relating to of simanim. Okay, I'd like to go now over to the part of Shachris. I don't have that much time. The part of Tkiyah Shofar and Musaf. Let's go to Malchus, Achronos, and Shofar. And from there we'll have some. There are three things. I think it's the only davening in the year. It's not a deraisa, it's not a chiyuv min haTorah. But the davening, the essence of the davening is at least an asmachta min haTorah. It's the only time we find where the Torah was kaveya, where the Torah set down the tzura, the form of davening. Zechronis, Malchus, and Shofar. It's a strange combination. There has to be some sort of, in other words, if we're putting it down as one unit, one tefillah, and it's the Torah, it's not where you lapping, where you attach different elements to it. But it's rather the Torah said, this is what the davening shall look like, Imru lefanei Malchus, Zechronis, and Shofar. The Gemara explains each element why. Let's get back to the point of what is Malchus. So, unfortunately, we grow up with a certain amount of concepts, childish, goyish, even just superficial. And everything else becomes associated with it, especially if it's in the old language. A king means nothing to us, as it shouldn't. A king is a dictator, as far as we think. A pompous dictator with a lot of pomp. I mean, when you think of king or kingdoms, it brings to mind either a fairy tale or a cruel, monstrous dictator, or at best a very non-significant person, just such as we have today, kings of England, kings of Holland. Where's the, Holland? We don't associate it, and as much as we try to bring into it, think of how scary it must be, how fearful. But again, it's basically a dictator imposing his tyranny on you, and the fear is only because of something. It's an external fear. In other words, the king's got his henchmen, he's got the power, so you step in line. That is the association. That is our normal association with Malchus. We can't help it. It's interesting in Lashon Kodesh, that's called memshala. Imposing ruling on somebody is called memshala and moishel. Moishel is a ruler. There is nothing there. That is tyranny, dictator, and kings as we know it. Malchus is dafkit willingly. Umalchusay beratzen kiblu aleihem. In Malchus, the Malchus they accepted willingly. Melucha is the people had to ask for Malchus, and so on. The people anoint him. But still, I mean, it's a good system of government. Maybe we can do it willingly if we have a very good king. There's nothing there that we can relate to in a way in which Malchus, what Malchus means. Let's go at a personal level. First point. When we look at a person, let's say a person who's mentally ill. What it means basically is that the various aspects of his personality are not lined up to any one point. Everything of his imagination ran away from his seichel. His actions ran away from his imagination. The person, in other words, a person who's not whole, who's not happy, who's not complete, is a distraught person. It means that he wants one thing, he knows he should do a second thing, he's given a third thing. There is no, he's not an adam ha-shalom, a complete person. Doesn't only mean someone who's perfect in each part of his. He's a very good-hearted person, he's a very smart person, he's very this. But that's not a whole person. That's a person with a lot of milas. A whole person means where all parts of his are one person. You see, there are no conflicts. He's found the pivot around which to center every aspect of him, and he's one person. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is one, meaning that the things HaKadosh Baruch Hu does that are harsh, and the things that he does that are kind, and the things that he does that are grand, and the things that he does that are hidden, they're all part of one HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There is no difference by HaKadosh Baruch Hu between any of his midas. A person was created looking like, in the image of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was scared, that he says, Lo tov yesh adam levadai, because he represented, by being one, he represented HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He sort of imitated HaKadosh Baruch Hu in his unity. So it's not only the unity of it's not only unique that he was unique, there was nobody like him, but the person as a whole wasn't hands, feet, heart, and head sewn together. It was one. Something of that, when we speak of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's divine image, was speaking about HaKadosh Baruch Hu's unity as having found some sort of representation in man. On a national level, a nation is a million people, a few million people. A parliament, a congress is not, it's not a nation. Again, it's each person has its own interest. The only way we can run things in any way is running it, I give up something, you give up something. Everybody understands that if we'll try to take everything, nobody will have anything. So it's not unity in the sense of any one point which makes the nation into one nation. Rather, it's a convenience which keeps everybody apart with enough insulation so that nobody gets anybody else's nerves. In other words, we all got to pay taxes, okay, but that's it. There's a court system to make sure it doesn't go further. Everything is balanced in a way so that each one can live his individual life in a way that he feels like it. The only time when you have existence on the level of a nation is if you have one point, one head of the spear, which everything is driving towards, which everything has a goal. If you'll notice, this is probably one of the reasons, the difference between living in a secular community and a religious community. One of the things people notice most quickly is the strongness of the bond of people. It's not because people are bali chesed. It's not out of a niceness. I mean, it certainly requires chesed, but that's missing the boat. A person who is secular means I'm living my life. I have nothing in common with you. There's really no reason for me to have anything in common with you. There's nothing common about us. In other words, we both came about through a certain set of circumstances. We know that to coexist at a certain level is nice. If I enjoy our relationship, we'll develop it to our mutual benefit. There's no point. I mean, what is the community doing together? I want to golf. He wants to play tennis. There's no reason why we have to go to golfing together if you want to play tennis. There is no point that at which everybody's own personal desires, ambitions, drives could come together at. People who are oriented towards the goal of Torah and mitzvahs, even though each person might relate to a different aspect of it. He's the one sitting and learning. He's the one in Kiruv. He's the one passing shilas. He's the one earning a living and acting out a life of Yiddishkeit in a secular world. Each person might have different parts to it, but there is a very strong point of unity, because basically we're all headed towards a common direction. An army is like that. An army might have, an army, people who go from army life to civilian life, which is usually the case in Israel, have a very hard time adjusting to the fact that there is no common point. The army's hierarchy is built, you might have one guy is in a submarine and the other person sitting behind a desk in midtown, but there is a very clear point of connection between the two. The goal, the structure, and so on. The point of unity between a nation as a nation, and in the greatest sense, the world as a world, is only when it's structured with a point. When everything, it's a pyramid coming towards a point. When you have a pyramid, everything is from the point. That is Malchus. A melech means that the nation has come to a point where all their common aspiration, goals, drives, become centered into one person. The fact that it's so convenient and efficient because you can tell you what to do is only a result of, because a king represents. The Rambam says the king is the heart of the nation. In other words, it's the place where everything flows together and which in turn gives each part its element. It's not only that the heart supplies blood to each organ. It's what makes a person out of hands, feet, stomach, and head. There has to be some point of convergence. Again, if you speak about Lashon HaKodesh, Melech are the three, Chaf, Lam, and Mem are the three middle letters of the Aleph Beis. In other words, Malchus is the, and the opposite of Melech is Kolem. Kolem means a total disintegration when nothing is left attached to anything else. In other words, Churban means you still have, you know, like what the Rova looked like after the war. You know, pieces sticking up, sticking out. Kaliyah, Kolem, is like after an atomic bomb gets through with it. It's total, in other words, there's nothing left connected to anything else. Everything became dust. So the opposite, Melech, is that which takes every particle, brings it together. Kolem, destroy them. In other words, that's what Bilam tried to say. That's what the Gemara speaks. What did he try to say in that split second? Was Kolem. In other words, it the opposite of Melech is the totality of disintegration. When we take a look at the Bria, when we stand on Rosh Hashanah, and we take a look at the Bria around us, the most disturbing aspect is our inability to put different parts together. we can't put together, I mean, we can understand and believe each aspect as being HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that this person was granted life in a most fascinating circumstance. He was in a car crash and he's the only one who came out alive. While on the other hand, a little child dies. Klal Yisrael is kept through the generations in every possible miracle. And in 5 years, 6 million people are destroyed most horribly. On the one hand, HaKadosh Baruch Hu reveals himself to us in 100 different ways. On the other hand, nature is so efficient that if a person chooses to, nothing exists but nature. There is no, we look at different parts, we look at every aspect of the universe, of the Bria, and we understand, as bits and pieces we can understand. A complete picture we don't have. And the Gemara says it. The Gemara says, explains it at its most basic level. The Gemara says, Bayoyim Ahu, it says in the Pasuk, on that day, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be Hashem Echad Ushmo Yechad. He'll be one and his name will be one. So the Gemara asks, today HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not one? Today there's more than one God? Today it's board of directors? So the Gemara says, no. Today when we make a bracha on Ra, we make on Toiv, we make two different brachas. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us a good, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is good to us, he sends us something of, when a person sees a child for the first time, he makes HaToiv HaMeitiv. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is good and gives us good. When something bad happens, Cholil V'chas, some bereavement, you make a Dayan Emes. We speak of HaKadosh Baruch Hu as being the true judge. It's the same, the first half of the Baruch is the same. We say, Baruch Atah Hashem, Alekeinu Melech Ha'olam. Three quarters of the Baruch is the same. Why is the conclusion different? The Teretz is because when we speak to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we have to be honest. We can understand HaKadosh Baruch Hu's as a benefactor. We can understand him as a judge and as punisher. The two together don't go with us. It's different moods of a person. It's different aspects. To see the good in the punishment and to see it as actually one process where that is something. It's like a child who's when an adult is sick, he runs to a doctor. Because he understands the sickness and the pain he perceives basically as a cure. A child runs in every direction. He knows in a way that it's a cure, but he just does not have the perspective and the maturity to be able to feel it as such. He'll suffer pain before going to a doctor and he won't tell about it. So when we're looking at the Bria as being incomplete and the Bria as being broken into bits and pieces, besides those elements that are in stark, I wouldn't say opposition, but those that almost seem to belie the fact that there's a creator, even the different bits and pieces we have are disparate. And this is a result of the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not the melech of the Bria today. The Bria does not have a melech. It has a melech that's hidden in HaKel HaKadosh. He's not here. He's hidden. And therefore, we see this, we see this, we see that. As one unity, we don't have that perspective. On Rosh Hashanah, when the Bria starts over again, we have the ability to ask. We're closest to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes to us from the furthest reaches. He comes to us in closest way. That is the time for Malchus. In other words, Malchus means when we speak of HaKadosh Baruch Hu as King, we mean that every aspect of the Bria becomes a part of a kingdom and manifests itself as such. This person understands. The aspect that makes most people depressed, unwilling to live, is when the person feels he has no more place, he doesn't belong. There's no. I'm a useless person. When the day the person feels he's useless, he either ages very rapidly and goes over the hill. Or a younger person who feels he has no place because of shame or whatever, that's suicide usually. In other words, that every creature should feel its place in the Bria and should manifest its function and its mission. And we see where this comes from, the point of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that is Malchus. That is when we speak of HaKadosh Baruch Hu as Melech Al Kol Haaretz, when every part of the Bria, it's not that we want every part of the Bria to be a tzaddik. We want every part of the Bria to be the mouthpiece and the manifestation of what it represents in the Malchus.
This program is part of a series. For the continuation, please go to the next selection. You have been listening to aishaudio.com. For information about our online services, visit our website. To contact one of our representatives, write to aishaudio@aish.com. Shalom from Jerusalem.